Roland Martin, heard exclusively on the Tom Joyner Morning Show.
Ladies and gentlemen,
presenting
Roland Martin.
This morning he's on the phone in New York because he has to tape the Wendy Williams show, School of Roland.
How you doing?
Today.
Oh, I'm Roland. Doing great.
Roland Martin, good morning.
Tom, Simple J, good morning. So I certainly look forward to having an enlightening conversation on the Wendy Williams show. We'll be airing tomorrow, of course. We'll be taping it today. And so we'll see how that goes. But I'll have a good night. I'm taking my wife to go see Hamilton, so it's all good.
Nice.
All right.
Wow.
He's got Hamilton
money. He comes off the movie set. He's taping Wendy and going to see Hamilton.
Got Hamilton money. Go ahead, Roland.
Must be nice.
Well, that's good. It's good. It good to know somebody nice. In the cast. So when they go there, shout out to you. So it's all good. All good. We've been, of course, covering so many of these crazy issues happening around the country. And did y'all realize yesterday two cops were gunned down in Michigan? But didn't anybody talk about that? It's amazing. Why? What is going on when most of the cops that have been killed this year, 2016, Tom, have been killed by white folks? But you wouldn't know that by watching Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity, and the rest of these folks. Sean King, columnist and activist for the New York Daily News. Hello?
Hey, good morning.
Sean, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Good morning.
Sean, explain this to me. You've been reporting on this, how it's as if black folks are getting blamed for attacks on cops when whites have been killing cops, for the most part, in 2016.
Right. It's pretty wild. You know, even after the shooting in Dallas, the majority of police officers who've been killed in 2016 have still been killed by white folk. And I think that surprises people because, by and large, when white people kill the police, it rarely makes the news. It is rarely a blip on the conservative radar. And so it gives the impression, and a lot of people, even people in my own family, had the impression that most police who were killed by young black folk in the hood. You know,
me
it's
too.
A stereotype.
Yeah.
And when you say that, when you're talking about 71%, and again, Sean, yesterday, two bailiffs killed in a courtroom in Michigan, and it's as if it didn't even exist.
Right, and it shocks people because even when I posted that yesterday, it went viral because this man killed two bailiffs, shot a sheriff's deputy, and the nation wasn't gripped over it. You could hardly find the story anywhere. And it's hard to say, but it causes me to say that less than people deeply care about law enforcement, they love an opportunity to put black folk down. And if it was all about law enforcement, you'd see kind of some equality about how these stories are covered. But when white folk kill police, you rarely hear about it.
One of the things also that I wanted to ask you about has been really bothering me is after Charleston, all of the media attention was on forgiveness. Look how they forgave. Oh, my God. But after nine black folks killed in the church. But then all of a sudden, after Dallas, I ain't heard nobody talk about forgiveness. I haven't heard media ask the family of the officers, do you forgive Michael Xavier Johnson? What is this double standard of asking black folks to forgive after a tragedy, but not white Americans?
Well, it's sad, but there's really a deep history to rushing black folk through their pain and grief. And I'm not one to blame everything on slavery, but that practice of rushing people through their grief as quickly as possible goes all the way back to slavery, from the auction block to the plantation, where you only had a moment's notice to deal with your pain before you had to get back to work. And so if you look at the news, you didn't see on 9/12 people asking families if they forgave Osama bin Laden. But this past week, literally, on several different news outlets, you saw newscasters asking the family of Philando Castile, of Alton Sterling, if they forgave the officers who killed them. And those officers haven't even asked for forgiveness. They haven't even acknowledged they made a mistake. And so it's a particular phenomenon that you only see with black folk in America. And the same thing happened in Charleston, where you put folk in a corner and ask them if they forgive their victimizers. But you didn't see that after San Bernardino when Saeed Farouk killed people in the shooting there. It's something almost exclusively limited to black folk who've been victimized by some type of white shooter or killer. And folks just end up being in this strange position. And Philando Castile's mother in Minnesota, you know, she told CNN on multiple occasions, no, stop asking me this. And no, I don't forgive them. And I hated to even hear her have to say that, because grief is a process. And when someone in your family is murdered, it doesn't take hours to get to a point of forgiveness. It can take months or years. And it normally comes after some sense of justice. But literally, she said, and it was profound, she said, I haven't even seen my son's body. And you're talking about forgiveness and wanting her to comment on Dallas. But it's a long and ugly practice in America.
Sean King, I'm a big fan of yours.
I am too.
In the New York Daily News,
yes.
and love your columns. And I'm just wondering about the one that you wrote yesterday, because you say that when African Americans are killed, like we're talking about in Louisiana and in Minneapolis and Minnesota, everything that these black men did has been scrutinized, even the traffic tickets that Philando Castile got, as well as the picture from an arrest that Alton may have had in the past, Alton Sterling.
Right. And here's the thing. Like, in my article, I talked about how there are felons who are white celebrities that we didn't even know were felons. Like, in my article, I talk about how Mark Wahlberg literally was arrested for murder and spent several years in prison because of this immigrant family that he assaulted. A man literally was left blind, and he was a felon. Be it, like, I love Robert Downey Jr. and I love Iron Man. He was a convicted felon. But if Robert Downey Jr. died today, you're not going to see Robert Downey Jr.'s mugshot. They're not going to talk about him as a felon. Or like Tim Allen, who's the voice of Buzz Lightyear. Tim Allen spent 3 years in prison for cocaine and was a convicted felon. But we don't think of him as that. We think of him as Tim the Tool Man Taylor or Buzz Lightyear. And yeah. if he died tomorrow, they're not going to blast his mugshot out there. Yet they're talking about a man's traffic ticket.
Yeah.
The framing of these people and their lives and the way that they will be remembered is startling and infuriating.
Hey, Sean King, I want to know this. You do all these articles in the New York Daily News, and you're around a lot of white people. What's their reaction to your articles at the New York Daily News?
You know,
Security?
You know, they're supportive, and New York Daily News has been great to me, and even my editor, Jim Rich, has been extremely supportive. And every time I submit an article, there's always a bit of trepidation, because they really allow me to keep it real. But they're supportive.
You keep it real. And I just wanted to know how it was around the office.
I'm wondering how it is around the family reunion sometimes.
right.
Sean King, New York Daily News. You should log on to New York Daily News and read his articles. It is amazing. All right, Roland. We'll watch you tomorrow.
Great
on
class,
Wendy.
Folks.
School him, Roland.
Y'all take care.